Thank God. I can honestly say he's been good. I don't know what's going on with that sound system tonight, Brother James. It seemed like all of a sudden it just caught another gear. And I may wind up being too loud. I don't know. I was thinking while they were singing, y'all sitting there holding those babies in your lap. And I sitting there watching my baby sing tonight. And I don't know what's a greater honor, to hold them when they're little or watch them serve God when they're big. Amen. But it's both a blessing, I guarantee you that. Take your Bibles tonight and turn to Psalms 127. Psalms 127, just one verse of Scripture tonight, and I'll give you what I felt the Lord would have us to. Some of you, this is not your first baby, so you've heard this several times, Brother Don. You ought to be getting used to it by now. And it's my prayer that tonight it'll sink in, amen? And or at least maybe your wife will get it this time. But Psalms chapter number 127, if y'all there, say amen.
Amen.
One verse of Scripture in verse number 3. The Bible said, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward." Let's look at that again. "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward." Before we begin tonight, I want you to understand that those children you hold aren't here by accident. It's God who gives life. Amen. And you've got those babies in your arms tonight because God allowed you to. And we ought to look at it every day and thank God that He saw fit to allow us to raise one of His children. Amen. Would you agree to that? Now, as parents, we come into this place. I did this same thing with all three of my children. And we came in the altar and we prayed and we gave that baby back to God and we dedicated that child's life to God. But what we miss sometimes is the fact that we too must dedicate our lives to God. If that baby or that child is going to be raised dedicated to the Lord, the only way it's ever going to survive or to make it in that aspect is that you and I must also, as parents, dedicate ourselves to the Lord. We're living in a society that puts little value on the home anymore. Every day in every courtroom in every city in this country, the docket is packed with divorce hearings. Every single day. People wait from morning until night to have their case called. Why? Because the devil is ripping homes apart at random.
Amen.
But tonight, as we come together, just like you made those vows when we did your wedding, and I married not all of you, but most of you sitting here, just like we made those vows at your wedding, you promised to love, to honor, and cherish for rich or poor, better or worse, tonight I want you to make some more vows. Not just to love each other, but to love and to raise that child the way God would have you to. What's wrong in America? They're pointing the finger of blame in every direction. They're saying it's the breakdown of the public school system. It's a breakdown of this. It's the breakdown of that. No, it's the breakdown of the parents. We simply don't have Christ in His rightful place. Amen. He has got to be the head of the home, not the husband, not the wife, but the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the Lord Jesus directs the marriage and He directs the home and He directs the parents and the rearing of the child, you cannot fail. Are you listening to me? You better pay attention to me tonight. There's nothing more exciting than having a brand new baby in the family. I'll never forget the day Ashley was born. Now, Alan, he come in here with this baby, and it's his first one. He toted it around like it's a rag doll. But I remember when Ashley was born, I was afraid to touch her. I was afraid to touch her. I changed her diaper, and this was years ago, and we had cloth diapers, and I stuck one of them pins in her about that far. I was scared to death of that youngin. But it was an exciting time. I mean, an exciting time. It was like a fairy tale. From 0 to about 5 years old, their lives are a fairy tale. Everything they do is cute. Amen. Everything they do is cute. Brother Todd and Sister Ashley had on their Facebook page, "Hayden went to the potty by himself." For us, that's a normal thing. But for that baby, man, that's exciting. Everything they do is cute, and everything they do is funny. And when they say stuff that's stupid and don't make no sense, and they're jabbering, and it's all hilarious. It's a fairy tale. But then six-year-olds come, and they go to school, and that fairy tale is going to turn into a drama. Can I get a witness, parents? That fairy tale will turn into a drama. That little child who thinks everything they do is cute and funny to mama, they go to school and find out everything ain't cute and funny to the teacher. And they find out everybody don't love them like mama and daddy loves them. Amen. I remember one morning going to school, I was in the principal's office on a pretty regular basis. We were just about on a first name basis, but I remember one morning getting up, and mother always laid out my clothes and picked out my clothes, and she made me, and I got a whipping before I went to school because I fought about wearing what she laid out. I didn't want to wear it. It was checkered pants. I hate checkered pants. They were in style. I hated them then. I hate them now. Amen. Check a plaid, whatever you want to call it. But I got in trouble that day, and I went to the principal's office. I was sitting down in his chair, M.T. Fuller. I'll never forget it. He's dead and in heaven now, I think. But I was sitting across his desk, and he said, "You think you're cute, don't you, boy?" I said, "No, sir, Mama made me wear this." I'll never forget that. I thought he was talking about my ugly britches. I said, "No, sir, Mama made me wear this." But everything, hey, that fairy tale will turn into a drama. And there'll be days you don't know what to do. There'll be days that kid will come home from school and Brother Tony will say, "So-and-so's picking on me. And boy, somebody didn't do me right." And your first instinct's, "Well, bless God, I'll go to that school and I'll straighten that crowd out." Best thing you can do is stay out of young'un's business. Let them work it out. Amen. Amen. Children usually will. The parents usually make it worse. What you ought to do is pray. Amen. What you ought to do in them drama years when they're trying to find their place in the world and where they fit and who they are and what they are, what you ought to pray is for the guiding hand of God to lead them and guide them and give them direction. Amen? Amen. Those drama years, you start out in the fairy tale and it's wonderful. Then the drama years, but then 13 comes. We go from a fairy tale to a drama to a thriller. I don't want to discourage you tonight. But I'm here to tell you she's not going to stay the size to fit in the palm of your hand. She'll be 13 one day if the Lord tarries. He'll be 13 one day if the Lord tarries. The craziest mixed up thing on the face of this planet is a teenager. Amen? I thought I had it licked, man. I remember I used to pray, "God, just let there be a day when I don't have to carry a diaper bag." Can I get a witness right there? Everywhere you go, I mean, it's a car seat, a diaper bag. How many bottles have we got? How many diapers have we got? Good Lord, let's get through this. I thought we had it made, and then they turned 13. Now, the boy wasn't quite as bad. I just smack him in the head and everything about them girls. Oh, my. If you've raised a teenage daughter, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Drama queens. Drama queens. This fairy tale, this drama, this thriller, is one of the greatest privileges that God ever gave a man or a woman. Amen. To be able to raise a child. Amen. Through all the difficulties when we pulled our hair out and didn't know what to do and trying to make these decisions about their life, what they can do, what they can't do, where they can go, where they can't go, who they can hang out with, who they cannot hang out with. Well, I tell you, as I look at my children tonight, the fairy tale, the drama, and the thriller is worth it all. And I'm not saying my kids are perfect. They're far, far from it. But our goal is to get them from here to there. And they still love God. Every little kid loves Jesus. They'll sing "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, for the Bible Tells Me So." They'll sing all the children's church songs. And they'll love the Bible stories. And they'll love Sunday school. But if we don't do our job, you can count on the devil doing his. And if you don't think he wants to drag these children out into the world and get them on drugs and teen pregnancy and everything else, you've got another thing coming. So tonight, as parents, I want to charge you to do the job that God has entrusted you to do, and that's to raise these children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Three areas tonight that I want to talk to you about. Number one, it is your job to teach these children. It is your job to teach these children. I don't want to make anybody mad tonight. I have a lot of opinions, and so do you. But Miss Hillary Clinton said it takes a village to raise a child. I say Miss Hillary Clinton is an idiot. Amen. Yeah, I don't find that in shape, form, or fashion in the Word of God. Nowhere did God give a child to a village. God gave a child to a man and a woman, and He gave us that responsibility. It is not the public school system's job to teach your child. We okay? You know what the public school's there for? It's an aid to help you teach your child. Every parent in America, not every parent, but most parents in America, they want to shuck the responsibility off on somebody else. If the child's failing in school, whose fault is it? It's the teacher's fault. Every time we had a Christian school for 12 years, I know. But every day when that child who's failing come into class, have you got your homework? No, 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 no. 9 times out of 10, that was the reason for their failing. The teaching was being taught at school, but it wasn't being backed up at home. We have a great responsibility to teach our child. Deuteronomy chapter number 6, the Bible gives some great commandments about loving God, about how there's only one God. He gives those commandments in verses 1 through 5 or 1 through 6. And then in verse number 7, you know what He says? He said, teach them to thy children. Amen. Teach them to thy children. Listen, I'm your pastor, and I count that one of the greatest honors in the world. But it's not just my job, and it's not just a Sunday school teacher's job to teach Amen. These children about the Lord. It's your job. Amen. Amen. You ought to read to them at night. Amen. You ought to read to them at night. Y'all nod your head or something. I'll stay right there an hour and a half. You ought to read to them at night. Tell them Bible stories at night. Teach them about the Lord. Hey, we have bus children that come into this church that come from just ungodly and awful homes. And they walk into the 7 and 8 year old Sunday school class, and the teacher gets up and talks about Jonah and the whale. And that child's never heard of Jonah, and they don't know about a whale, and they don't know about Joseph and his coat of many colors. They have no idea, because they don't have parents at home that care enough spiritually about that child to tell them. Amen. I remember when Brother Greg Nix's girls, Ariel and Kayla, were in my mother's class. I remember when Sister Kim and Brother Randy Robertson's girls were in my mother's class, and my mother was always blown away as she would begin her lesson. Those girls seemed to know more about it than she did. Where did they get that? They got it at home. They got it at home. Listen, I know we have our interest in the things we want to do and our hobbies and all that, but this comes before anything else. You've got about 18 years, and then you can go play. Amen. You can't. You'll be keeping their children. Amen. But you've got about 18 years of dedication. I mean, you've got to just block this off and say, from here till the day she's married, till the day he's married, I'm dedicating my life to raising this child. Amen. It's your job to teach them Amen. What's right and what is wrong. Amen. Secondly tonight, and I'm just going to rush through this. Secondly tonight, number one, I said it's your job to teach these kids. Proverbs chapter number 26, and I believe it's verse number 6, the Bible said, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Number one, it's your responsibility, Daddy and Mama, to teach these kids. Number two, it's your responsibility to train these kids. There's a difference. You teach a student, you train a soldier. You teach a student, you train a soldier. The Bible talks about us being good soldiers of Jesus Christ. These little old boys that y'all holding in your lap, I'm expecting to see them serve God one day. Whether they're preachers or not, or Sunday school teachers or not, whatever it may be, I expect to see them serving God in some area in their life. Yes, sir. Amen. Your job, Mom and Dad, is to train these kids in the way they should go. I hate to use this as an illustration, but I'm going to. I have a Labrador Retriever at home. I've just had her about a month. I am not comparing your child to a dog. I promise you, I'm not. But I got this dog from a fella in Louisiana. He spent $5,000 having her trained. She's smarter than I don't know what to do with a dog that's got more education than I do. And here's what the man told me. I said, how do they train the dog? He said it cost $1,000 a month and they had to keep her 5 months. I said, why does it take 5 months? And this is what he said, and that thing stuck with me, and I thought, I'm going to remember that. He said they do the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over and over, and sooner or later it clicks in that dog's brain. Oh, this is what I'm supposed to do. Amen? One thing that's missing, I think, in our homes is consistency. If it's wrong today, it's wrong tomorrow. If it's right today, it's right tomorrow. Amen. I don't know how many kids I've talked to just personally out soul winning, knocking on doors, or whatever the case may be, and hear a teenager say, well, we used to go to church when we was little. If church was right when they're little, church is right when they're big. Amen. What I'm telling you is you set you some standards for your home and you stick to those things, whether it be what you watch on television or listen to on the radio or places you go and people you hang out with. Set some standards and train your child to walk that way. Amen. Now here's the sad part. The way they learn the best is watching you. Couple of 3 years ago, there was a child brought in the office from the school. Little fella, Brother Freddie, you might remember. He was, third grade, second grade, little fella. Brought him in the office, and the teacher said, tell Brother Eddie or Brother Freddie, I forget which one of us it was, tell him what you said. And little boy, no hesitation, just blurted it out. And I was like, whoa. She said, I think he needs a paddling. I said, I think you need to go on to class and let us take care of this. I sent the teacher back to the classroom. I said, son, why'd you say that? He said, I don't know. I said, where'd you hear it? Pay attention, Slappy. He said, my daddy says it. Yeah. I said, do you know what that means? He said, no, sir. I said, did you know those are ugly words? He said, no. He said, my daddy don't say ugly words. I said, did he say those? He said, yes, sir. I said, well, those are ugly words, and you should never repeat them. And we called his daddy and told his daddy why that child was in the office. That tore daddy up. You say, did you paddle the child? No, I wanted to paddle daddy. It wasn't the little boy's fault. It was the daddy's fault because the little boy was following his example. Every little boy wants to be just like his daddy, and every little girl wants to be just like her mother. So if these children are going to have a walk with God, mom and daddy, you're going to have a walk with God. If these children are going to have live a clean life, we need to live a clean life before them. Yes, amen. Our job is to teach them, and our job is to train them. I hope I'm not scaring you tonight, especially if you're a first-time parent, but it is a huge responsibility. It's not just something we take for granted. And it's not something we decide, well, we'll just cross that bridge when we get to it. You better make up your mind now. You better make up your mind now about some things in these children's lives. Alan, think about this. Some little punk's going to come knock on your door one day. And he's going to want to put her in a car alone with him. You need to make up your mind right now what you're going to do. Seriously. Alan's looking like, already decided. Already got that one down, preacher. Got the knife sharp and the gun loaded. Amen. But I'm serious. You need a husband and wife. You need to have this conversation. What will we do when? Amen. What will we do when this comes up? What will we do even when they're little and they go to school and they meet new friends and they want to go spend a night with so-and-so? You don't know nothing about that home and nothing about them people. I'm serious. You're going to face every one of these decisions. Make up your mind today how you're going to raise this child. He said, preacher, how do we do that? Do we need to buy Dr. Spock's book? Don't listen to nobody's advice about raising children that ain't got children. Amen. Amen. You don't need Oprah telling you how to raise a child. Are you listening to me? The greatest book, let me recommend the greatest book on child rearing is that Bible right there. You see, the society will tell you not to discipline that child. Don't ever do it in Walmart. They'll call the law on you. That's the truth. But you know what the Bible said? The Bible said, he that spareth his rod hateth his son. My mother used to spank me. She never beat me. Well, a couple times. But she used to spank me and she'd say, son, I'm doing this because I love you. I didn't understand that then. But I do now. The society says, oh, we don't suggest corporal punishment. We suggest time out. My mama had time out too. She'd beat the fire out of me and say, one, two, three, he's out. Amen. Time out. Amen. I'm not for beating children. I find out you abuse one of these kids, I'll turn you in myself after I get done with you. Amen. But there's a difference in abuse and discipline. Can I just give you some advice right there while I'm here? Don't discipline your children publicly. The Bible says, provoke not your children to wrath. Ladies, don't discipline your children by screaming. I hate to use this dog again, but you know the worst thing I can do is scream at her? That's the worst thing I can do. I can discipline her, but I can't scream at her. It just seems like she goes in the other direction. Don't scream at your kids. You know what that's going to produce? A screaming kid. I've been in people's home. They don't discipline their kids. All they do is scream. Shut up. Go to your room. You know what it accomplishes? Nothing. Nothing. How many of you had a daddy that all it took was that look? Daddy didn't have to whip you because you knew he meant business. Mama didn't have to scream because she knew, you knew she meant business. I remember my mother telling me in church, when I get you home, I'm going to wear you out. Oh, boy. I'd go to the altar every time. Lord, please let her forget. I knew she meant business. And I'd pray. We'd go out to eat with folks after church. She'd laugh, cut up. I'd say, yeah, she's having a good time. She's going to forget all of that. We'd walk in the door. She said, go to your room. I'll be there in a minute. Oh, assume the position. She never forgot. She never done it in public. She never wore me out in front of my friends. I respect my mother more than anybody on the face of this earth tonight. You know why? Because even as a wild child, she respected me. Amen. That kid's got to know more than anything, you love him. If you want that child to turn out right, you've got to win their hearts early. Daddy can be best friend. And that can be daddy's girl. And she can have daddy wrapped around her little finger. But she's got to know that serious side of daddy too. We okay tonight? Teach them. Train them. Lastly, just trust the Lord. Just trust that what he said in his word is right. Why don't you get you a concordance or look in the back of your Bible and everywhere it says father, mother, child, children, run them verses down and trust what God said do. Just trust what God said do. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 5, trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. Verse number 6 says, in all your ways acknowledge him and he'll direct your path. There's going to be days you don't know what to do. There may be days you need some advice. Don't ask somebody who don't know. Don't let somebody who ain't got a teenager tell you how to raise a teenager. Go to somebody who's raised some godly kids and say, what do you do here? What do you do there? Help me. Amen. I hope you take these things to heart tonight because these are precious gifts that God has given you. There's an old black preacher years and years and years ago in a little toddler boy's funeral. He said, God didn't give you that baby. Not by 100,000 miles. He just thought you needed some sunshine, so he lent him for a while. He said, no silver tears you're shedding while they just interest on the loan. Those are God's children. During every one of your pregnancies, we prayed that God would give you a healthy baby. You know what? He's held up his end. How many of you want to be good parents? Come on. You got that desire. Let's get on this altar tonight together in just a minute and let's ask God to help us do that. Not only do I want you to be the parent God intended you to be, but I want to be the pastor to them that God intended me to be. So let's pray that together with the Word of God and the help of God and the Holy Spirit that we can get these children down the right path, that we can train them in the way they should go, and when they're old, they'll not depart from it. I'm going to call you up one at a time. And when you come, just stand to my right till that kind of gets full, and then go to the left and we'll get down here and pray together. Miss Haley Jewel Martin. Amen. Miss Isabella Majors. Well, the Lord sure has been good to y'all, hasn't He? Miss Cheyenne Slappy. Marcus Cooley. Amen. Hey, buddy. Joshua Adams. Mr. Heaven Brookings. Love you, Stephanie. Kaylin Bearden. Missing anybody? Amen. Let's get down here in this altar and let's pray together, all right?